All right, let's take our Bibles this evening and turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, please. Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. All right, I'm going to begin reading in verse 1, please, and you follow along as I read. And Luke says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." Now, Gennesaret is the Sea of Galilee. It's just another term for it, Gennesaret. In verse 2, he says, "And saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's," Simon Peter, "and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." Now a draught is what it's a catch. All right, let down your nets for a catch. All right, but notice what Simon, what Peter says to him in verse 5. "Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon." So they had a fishing business between them. "And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not. From henceforth, thou shalt catch men." All right, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless and help us tonight. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this passage of Scripture. What a tremendous story is told here by Luke. And Father, I pray that you will bless now as we take a look at it this evening. I ask you to help me as I speak and bless our folks as they listen, and help us to make the application so that every one of us gets something from the Word of God this evening. And Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to be fishers of men. And each and every one of us can certainly be a fisher of other men. And so, Father, give us, I pray, a great time together around your word tonight. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want to call your attention this evening to an event that happened in the very early days of our Lord's ministry. This event is very important, and it's very important because of what it produced. You say, well, what did it produce? Well, it produced three men who would be the inner circle of our Lord's disciples. This is the event where Peter, James, and John gave up everything that they had and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. This was where Peter, James, and John decided that they were going to serve the Lord. Now, I want you to kind of get the picture here. The Lord Jesus is growing in fame throughout all the land. There are people who are following him, and they would notice where he went to sleep at night, and then the next morning they would be waiting on him as he came out, and they would follow him, hoping beyond hope just to see another miracle or to hear another message or to see the Lord do something spectacular with his people. And so one day he was out on the edge of the Sea of Galilee, and there was a huge crowd that had gathered around him. And so he gets into a boat that belonged to Peter, and he had the Apostle Peter shove the boat away from the shore so he could speak to the people and everyone could hear. But I want to show you what I think is the main point here, what I think is the most important thing here. In my mind, as I read this, I don't think that the sermon was the main thing, because it's not even recorded for us. Do you notice that? I mean, there's no, we're told that he spoke to the people, but that's not even recorded for our benefit. So the issue is not the sermon that the Lord Jesus preached. The issue, I don't think, is even the multitude of people who were following him. You say, well, Pastor, what do you think is the main point of all this? Well, in my opinion, the main point is that Luke is telling us the account of the call of Peter, James, and John, the what we refer to as the inner circle of his disciples, and this is their call into the gospel ministry. To hear the word of God from the word in the flesh would have been an amazing and a marvelous thing. I mean, when you stop and think about it, this whole scenario, this whole event would have been an amazing thing to see. I love the Sea of Galilee area. Wow, I mean, it's amazing. The whole scope of what you can see and the water and the mountains that go around, and especially at night, to be able to look up on those mountains and see the lights from this city and that city and just a few here, but then several over here, and all around the mountaintops you can see those cities once it gets dark. All right, so all of that would have been amazing to watch and to witness. But I think the point that we are to see here is the call of these disciples from fishers of fish to fishers of men. Right here is where they left everything that they had built. They left their livelihood. They left their source of income and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. One man, preacher of the past, said, "This is the day where the Lord enrolled three disciples in Bible college. And graduation was going to be 3.5 years down the road on the day of Pentecost. And they were, in this story, called to preach, trained to preach, and given the Word of God from the Word of God to go and preach the message. What an awesome thought that is. Now let's look at this passage, and I want you to see a couple of things here this evening that that will, I hope, put some emphasis and put some structure to this main idea from these 11 verses. The disciples, the inner circle, called into the ministry. Now, here's what I want you to notice. Let's begin here in let's go down to, is it verse 5? Yes, it is. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. So when the Lord came upon these disciples, they had been out fishing all night long. Now, folks, these guys are professional fishermen. Professional fishermen very rarely fish all night long and catch nothing. Very rarely. That is very unusual for that to happen. They were professional fishermen, but yet we see them working all through the evening, but they were unable to catch any fish. So they come in the morning, and they park their boats, dock their boats, and then they are outside of their boats. And verse 2 says that they are washing their nets. All right, now let's think about that. What do we see them doing? Well, they are washing their nets. Fishermen had to keep their nets clean and mended. And the reason that they did is because that net was their income. They had to take care of that net. When you think about Peter and John and James and these men that were fishermen, they did not go out there and sit on the lake with a jar of worms and a fishing pole, all right? A Zebco 33. They didn't do that, okay? When it says they were fishermen, it means that they went out and they cast a net and then drew the net in. It was hard, laborious work. It was not something that easy to do. It was a toilsome way to make a living. And so if the net is not taken care of, well, then the fisherman has a problem, because the net was the fisherman's life stay. And so every morning they had to clean their tools, so to speak. They had to take care of their tools. When I was home one summer from college, I got a job working for a fella in the church, and he ran a tree trimming company. Now in winter time, and that's when I got there, right after I got politely asked to go home my senior year. So Jimmy Carter was the president, and there were no jobs, and just sad, but nonetheless, This fellow felt sorry for me, and he said, can you run a chainsaw? And I could, because I had run a chainsaw for years for my dad and my grandfather. And so he said, can you run a chainsaw? I said, sure. And so he said, well, you show up tomorrow at 7 and we'll find out. And so at 7 I was there, and he took me down and he showed me the chainsaws that he had. And he took this little rat tail file and he said, now I'm going to show you how to sharpen the blade. I said, I know how to sharpen the blade. He said, you do? I said, yes. He said, well, show me. So I got down there and I started. He said, yep, that's how you do it. He said, now, do you know how to tighten the chain? I said, yes, I know how to tighten the chain on this. He said, well, how do you do that? So I showed him how to tighten the chain and loosen the chain. And he said, now, do you know where the gas goes? Duh, yes. He said, do you know where the oil goes? Yes, I know. I said, Rodney, I know all this stuff. He said, all right, now look. He said, you'll notice that chainsaw right there. I said, yeah. I said, it looks good. It looks good. He said, yes, it looks brand new, doesn't it? And I went, eh. You know, I don't know if it looks brand new, but it is clean. He said, yeah. And when we're finished this evening, that's the way I want it. I said, oh, okay. He said, if you don't take care of these saws, you're out of a job. The saw is your life's blood. I said, oh, okay, I get it now. And so when we were done that evening, I got the saws out of the truck, and went in and set them on the workbench. And when I sat them down, Rodney came through the door, and he said, now that's not where you found that, was it? And I said, no, I found it in the truck. He said, no, this morning. I said, oh, no, that's not where I found it this morning. He said, now that saw was a whole lot cleaner this morning, wasn't it? I said, Rodney, I'm going to get to your saw. I promise. Go eat dinner. Go do something. Just leave me alone. And so he left, and I had to stand there and clean that saw so that it was in the same condition that evening as it was that morning. That was important to him. And I understand why. Because that saw was his business. If the saw was not taken care of, the wood was not going to be cut. And so with these guys, the net was the main thing. They went out every night and they cast the net into the water, and it was the net that gathered the fish. So every time they finished fishing, they had to wash the nets, and they had to take a needle and thread, and they had to stitch where it had been broken, and they had to get all the little pieces of wood that had collected and all the grass that had collected. And so it's very appropriate, I think, that Luke included that little line at the end of verse 2. When he said, and were washing their nets. Now, folks, listen. If you and I are going to be fishers of men, we've got to keep our nets clean. We've got to be clean before God. God is not going to use us if we are filthy. If we don't take care of our nets, then we're in trouble. Christians need to keep a clean heart before God so that God can use them. Folks, it is your life, your net, that does the witness and that shares the gospel. And so the net was their life, And if it was full of debris and excess material that wasn't supposed to be there, then it was not fit for catching fish, and they would not profit. And so it is with the believer. If our lives are filled with sin they're dirty and not taken care of, well, you just mark it down. We're not going to catch fish. All right? You got to take care of your net. Jesus said to these men in the Great Commission, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." And that's written in our Bible for our sake. You know what that means? That means that you and I are to go into the world and preach the gospel. You say, "But Pastor, God didn't call me to preach." No, God didn't call you to stand up here with 3 points in a poem, but God did call you to preach the gospel to every creature in this world. When he said preach, what he's talking about is to forth tell. To forth tell. To tell forth the message that Jesus saves. Preaching the gospel, winning souls to Christ, is the duty of every believer. But when our nets are full of sin and material that needs not be there, our nets are going to get tangled up, and there's no fish that are going to be brought in. You see, folks, God depends upon the church to keep their nets clean. You want to know why? I'll tell you why. Did you know that nowhere in the Bible, and I challenge you to look for yourself if you don't trust me on this one, but did you know that nowhere in the Bible is an unsaved person commanded to go to church? That's true. Now, you and I are, as believers, we are commanded to go. All right, but the unsaved person is never commanded to go to God's house. The church was established by the Lord Jesus as the boat dock for sending out fishers of men. That's the church's role, the church's responsibility. We are to go and get the fish. We're to go out and catch them and bring them in. You see, the business of the church is to take the message of the gospel to a lost and dying world. Our job is not to sit in this building and just soak up and saturate and sour and that's what a lot of churches do. That's what a lot of Christians do. The business of the church is to take the message of the cross to the world. And that's something that we need to get back to. I mean, after they get saved, then God commands them to go to church. And why? Well, so they can come to church and grow and learn the Word of God and get their nets in shape to go out and catch other fish. Folks, we need to wash our nets. And God wants us to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. But we have to do it with a clean net. You know, I would just love to see the Lord send a glorious revival to America, wouldn't you? I would love to see that. I mean, where the souls of men are broken for the gospel and for eternity, and where folks were just anxious and ready to hear the Word of God and start living for the Lord, and Christians established in the faith and given renewed vision and challenge to serve and do something effective for the Lord. But is our net clean? Is your net clean? You see, that's what we need to search tonight. Is our net clean? So here are these three men. And listen, you know the rest of the story. You know how God used these men in such a mighty and tremendous way. But it all started right here in Luke 5. And what were they doing? They were washing their nets. That's how it begins with us, Christian. Us washing our nets. Then secondly, I want you to notice that the Lord Jesus commanded them to launch out and let down their newly washed nets. He said, launch out. Launch out. In the face of discouragement, launch out. That's what Peter was basically saying to him in verse 5. He said in verse 4, launch out into the deep. And Simon Peter said, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. We have been out there all night casting the net, one right after another, and we have not caught a thing. But in the face of discouragement, what did Jesus say? He said, launch out. Launch out. But Jesus, we fished all night. I know you've labored hard, and I know you're tired. I know all that, understand all that, but the Lord Jesus said, hey, listen, launch out. The command is still there. The command does not go away. There have been periods throughout history where the gospel was more well received than at other times. I can remember when I first got saved that we would go up to Charleston, up to the big city, you know. We would go up to Charleston and just hit the streets of Charleston with gospel tracts and witnessing to people. We would go and spend several hours on a Saturday just stopping people and talking to them about the Lord. And you know, people were receptive. Nobody cursed at you like they do today. Nobody took your track, wadded it up, and threw it down in front of you. Nobody just shoved you out of their way and mumbled under their breath as they just blew by you like they do today. But today, it's a little more difficult. But it's not impossible. People will listen today, and they are still getting saved. I know folks have said, "But Pastor, I've been talking to so and so, and I just get nowhere with them." Hey, launch out! Don't quit! Don't give up! I can remember back to when my dad was not saved, and my mom wanted my dad to get saved so bad. She would put those little cartoon tracks, you know, the little chick tracks. She would put those in his lunch pail. And he read them. He read them. Not only did he read them, but the others were, "What you got there?" And he said, "It's a little book my wife stuck in my, well, let me see it when you're done." And so the other guys would read it. I mean, it became effective. It was an effective tool. My mom would leave them laying around, just different ones. She got a hold of them somehow and got a catalog and just ordered a bunch of them. And she would just lay one out where he could see it. She'd put one on the coffee table. She'd put one on the nightstand. She would put one in the bathroom. I mean, she was relentless. And always, every day, put some kind of a witness tract in his lunchbox. Folks, the command is still there. Launch out. You say, well, I don't want to go out. Then you definitely are not going to catch anything. You know? I mean, if you don't launch out, you never will catch anything. But I want us tonight to wash our nets. And then I want all of us in this building to realize that it is our responsibility to go. Don't get discouraged. You say, but I've witnessed to my neighbor. I know, I have too. But I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to give up. I just think we ought to stay after it. You see, the day of revival will come when we launch out and then cast the net and then have so many fish in the net that it almost breaks. Now, I don't know when that's going to be. And it may be that the Lord chooses not to send revival to America once again. It may be that the plan is for the Lord to return soon. We may not see revival in our day. Man, I hope we do. But if not, I'm content with the Lord coming back, aren't you? But we can't quit. We just can't stop. We cannot just give in and say, well, you know, this is an evil age. Yes, it is. But every age has been an evil age. And the Lord is still at work. And then, lastly, I want you to notice that if we do launch out with clean nets, we're going to be amazed at what God does. I want you to look down at verse 9. The Bible says that Peter was astonished and all that were with him. They were astonished. They could not believe what their eyes were seeing. They had been out on that lake all night long, fished all night long, caught nothing. But Jesus said, launch out. I'm sure they turned around and looked at the nets that they had just finished cleaning and thought to themselves, oh man, we're going to have to do this again. But they threw the nets in the boat, went out into the deep, cast the nets, and they were full. Folks, I don't know. I don't know what God is going to do. I wish that I did. I wish I knew, but I don't. Neither do you. But I do know this. We need to launch out. We need to launch out. You know, Pentecost was normal Christianity. All right, think about that. Pentecost was normal Christianity. Now, that being true, I think I'm pretty safe in saying that the church in 2022 is so far below normal. We are subnormal. And I think a lot of churches don't even recognize that they're there. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be subnormal. Peter was astonished at what the Lord Jesus did. And we too will be astonished at what the Lord Jesus will do if we will wash our nets, launch out into the deep, and let the Lord provide. Don't forget, folks, it's the Lord that brings the increase. And the last thing we're told, the very last thing we're told, is that The Lord told him, "Fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men." Now watch this. And when they had brought their ships to land, to where? To land. When they brought their ships to land, they, what's the next word? Forsook what? All. They forsook everything and followed him. They forsook all and they followed him. This is proof that they were 100% behind the Lord Jesus. To become fishers of men became more important to them than being fishers of fish. Does that make sense to you? That became their main focus. That became what it was all about. You know, one of the saddest pictures in the Bible is the Old Testament story about a prophet by the name of Balaam. That's one of the saddest pictures in the Bible. God wanted somebody to speak to Balaam and to tell him that what he was about to do was wrong, and to warn him not to do it. But the strange thing is, there was no prophet, there was no spokesman for God except for Balaam. He was it. Now, he wasn't worth the shot and powder it'd take to blow up, but he was it. And God wanted to get a message to him, but there was nobody that God could send. You know the story, don't you? He grabbed a hold of his donkey and started toward the city where he was going to go make a fool out of himself. And the donkey refused to budge. And he turned around and said, "What is wrong with you?" And that donkey then spoke to him and told him, no, you're not supposed to do this. Isn't it sad, folks? God was so hard pressed that he had to use a donkey to speak to his man. And I'm telling you, folks, God is hard pressed today as well. He is having a hard time finding anybody who will speak for him. That's sad. But nonetheless, that's true. Now, could it be that the reason we're not willing to speak is, number one, we have dirty nets? Could it be that we're not willing to speak for the Lord is because we are so preoccupied with everything else going around us that we're missing the main thing? I've said it for years now, but it's so true. The main thing is to make the main thing the main thing. That's telling others about Jesus. That's the main thing. And it starts with us cleaning our nets. Let me ask you this question, Christian. Do you know, let's make it simple. Do you know one person that you could speak with this week and tell them about the Lord Jesus? One person. Is there one person that you're going to come in contact this week that you could tell about Jesus. And if that person just popped into your head, would you make a commitment right here tonight that you're going to do your dead level best to share the gospel with them this week? Let's bow for prayer. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, wonder how many of us would say, Pastor, I need to get my neck clean, first of all. I know I can't be a fisher of men if I don't have a clean net. I need to get my neck clean. And Pastor, I know that I need to launch out. I know that. And I sure would like to be astonished at what God would do. I'd sure like to be astonished. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if God put one person on your heart a moment ago, if one person flashed across your mind, and you will make a commitment this week to speak with them about the Lord, would you just lift your hand and hold it up? Just lift your hand and hold it up. Oh, that's awesome. Great. Man, what a difference that would make. What a difference that would make. Share the gospel with them. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Share the gospel with them. Tell them how much the Lord loves them. Lead them to the Lord. And then bring them to church next Sunday. Let's see what God can do. Father in heaven, you know our hearts tonight. And I want to thank you so much for the Word of God that makes a difference in our lives. And Father, here's a little simple story. But yet, this simple little story was the catalyst to launch three of the greatest Christians the world has ever seen, Peter, James, John. Father, I pray that you will bless your word now to our hearts and give us that same passion that they had. Help us to be astonished at what we see the Lord do this week through us. And Father, I pray that the name of the Lord will be exalted. You saw all these hands. And Father, I pray that you will bless each person who raised their hand and just pave the way for us to be a witness for you. Help us to launch out this week. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.